Friends, I'm turning this morning to Psalm 32. And I'll read from verse 1 to 5. Psalm 32, I'm beginning from verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputed not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my rolling all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned unto the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin. And my subject this morning is the blessedness of forgiveness. The blessedness of forgiveness. And opei ye be fire seminary free enyum edia samienu na asemo a ye be dina so akasa ne enhira a ewo bonifache mu enhira a ewo bonifache mu the blessedness, the blessing that the one who sin have been forgiven receives. And friends, there's no greater joy or blessing in this world that is higher than the blessing of forgiveness. We come into this world with sin in our hearts, and we keep on sinning until the time when God forgives us of our sins. So the more you live in this world, the more you are piling up the weight of sin which is behind you. The story of the Pilgrim Progress makes this clear. The sin of this man was behind him. Wherever he went, the sin was with him. And until that sin is taken off, you have no pleasure in this world. And this psalm, Psalm 32, which King David wrote, is a very powerful psalm. I don't know. It could be when he has sinned against Bathsheba, but we know that Psalm 51 is more closely associated with his sin with Bathsheba. But this Psalm 32, if you look at the contents, it could be likely to also be that, or any other heavy sins that he had committed and was forgiven. So David knew exactly what it felt to live under the terror of sin and the joy and the blessing when that sin has been forgiven you. So he said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. In other translations, they call it, happy are those. When they say blessed, they also say happy are those. So that's how he begins his psalm. As some American say, if we are see, yeah, we are see more, yeah, we buy na boni eta wichi. And if we are see a wichi mo na uuni no na boni no e pile up na emu yedu ne mu yedu na still eta wichi. So we didn't fear do e wo boni mo. If you do born in a Taiwachi, a candy would be free at the mobile. Would you appear do noa, not a costro, not a muyedu? To any nano, a Taiwachuna, a wheel down. I guess it will be the Yisa Bonino, a few witchy. And yes, sir, a Taiwachi, sir. And that is what David is saying here. Now, the American said, David, you can't ask him. Then the enemy said, Okobo, a German. I'm a no Kuechino, or say Kumubi. Now, your name said, no more 17, young for the chair now. Or choose our family, and now say, when the food will be no year, a man and go for a bonnet chair. Now say the tear piano, Unim Sadie, Bonnie et al soa et ye. And now Unim Sadie, the whole chair on soa et ye. It will be because blessed, in Shira, and it will be at any bonnet at channel. If you are here, it means because we are sure will be at the bridge, you can say, if you are cinema, if you will be on our sister dying over Sika, and as you are seeing, we are seeing in our Snyamishan. Which is the name of Yamishan? The Yamishan will be at any point in your channel. Because the Enquirer are not musicians, the names and produce in my own back. Now, no, or two, you be. No, see, the enemy who any brave, any the Omuda. He said, we should envy the one who will never die, but not the one who will die. So I didn't understand it. But now, as I read up, I know what he meant. The person who will not die is the person whose sins have been forgiven him. Obi a omuda, any obi a idini boni acheno. Are you doing a If you say, obi a idini boni acheno, now it is a who eternal life. And when John 3:16, I can also say, obi a obegi yesu edino, idini boni becheno, owo enkwada. O enkwada, if you say, if you say, otimu ino, idini boni hubai. And as we are going to get to Bantu, I don't know if we are going to be changing. I'm lying, but for or heavy. Not just we are going to be. It will be a anybody a channel, or you will be a Sabi, Nimu and Ibris, or will be a Monia bring it here, it will be a anybody a channel. Now, this Sammy, who here is seen now, or see a Markel. Markel, no, as you say, a wisdom poem, just say, and you're Sam Kaby. Ah, Oka, Ama, and Nipa. Afa jini wumu na ili esuwe nyansa ehu kwa nye faso chia iwiasi imu na ili nye inshirefi unyangupo ho inti ya sami vya ehu hi hapa the psalm is titled Markel, which means to like a wisdom poem, a poem that is designed to make one wise to be able to live in this world a blessed and a happy life. That is what this psalm is about. So now the question that we should ask ourselves is that how can one receive this happy life or this blessed life? As we say, when we say, "Sir, in Shrey," and I say, "Any dear friends, you can't bear na ye be faso a ibeti ni enya sir in Shrey." Eno na David, Etienne, verses 3 and 5, no? By confessing your sins to God. Or see, when I kept silent, even when he had not confessed his sins, my bones waxed old through my rolling all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned to drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgivest the iniquity of me. As someone this from verse 10, was see, when I kept silent, which means when I had not confessed my sins to God, when he was hiding the sin in him, my bones was old through my rolling all the day long. Not he said, "Ne craig na na for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me." That is, take the bia onyango pon ebu fushio edanso. Anybody who has not had your sins forgiven you, we have led it so many times here. You are enemy of God. God's wrath is under you. You don't have God, who is your source of power. You don't have anything in this world when your sins have not been forgiven you. And that is what David is saying here. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned to drought or summer. Then he goes on, I acknowledge my sins unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. And keep me, give me body, Eddie. Or did to Musa or Yonipa or the Boyeni, one Fanny Bonny no NC or Catre or Yankupon to the Bonny Echen. Not just say, for you to get this happy life or better life, no, your sins must be forgiven you. But for your sins to be forgiven you, you must confess your sins to God. You must acknowledge that you are a sinner and that you can't do anything about your sin, but you believe in Christ alone to take your sins away. And that is the only way you can enjoy this happy and blessed life. And the opposite is that if you don't have this happy life, God's wrath is under you, upon you. Wherever you go, God's wrath is upon you. And you are going to meet a terrible life after death. You are going to be judged by the creator of heaven and earth. And will be judged by the Ten Commandments, which nobody can stand. That is why we need Jesus Christ, who was able to obey all this law to give us his righteousness. So forgiveness of sins is the most blessed thing that anybody can have. And this means that unrepentant sins are the causes of grief, of shame, and guilt. That is to say, oh, boni omua, ah, won pay won can change yankupon. I say boni eshe omua. Every nema I will hold any enimguasiye. Any say a 4 day be a wo utim. Now the name we are seeing. We name we are seeing now we see any party. And so we move on. There's grief, there's shame, there's guilt. The sinner's body wastes away, and his strength is dried up. As David said, your body washes away, and your strength is dried up. There's no life or vigor in you if your sins have not been forgiven you, unless you confess your secret sins, and then your mind and your body and your spirit, everything will now be clear. Other than that, God's hand is heavy upon you. That is what he's saying in verse 3. So, one pair, one can't ask me, am I a our full fra? When you go for a show, a dowel so, the beer will be cobia. You go for a book show, a dowel so, now Hana a control. You say, you're two spirits, so then you go for one, not a Satan. And Satan, where does he lead you to? To destruction. So, the one who has not had his sins forgiven is the one who is in misery. The one who has confessed his sins and forgiven is the one who enjoys this life. It is like when you have been taken to court, you have been charged with a very grievous offense and awaiting sentence. Some of them, you may be inside the prison on remand, or you may be on bail. Even if you are on bail, you will never be happy until when your case is tried and then you are judged. Other than that, whether you are on bail or on remand, the case will still be hanging on you. You can't be clear in your mind what to do. You can't even do anything in this world until the case is ended. And that is what it is. And then you can imagine the day that you go to court, the bailiff with the handcuffs, you are in handcuffs, and then are waiting for sentence. You'll be shivering. And then the judge comes, and then he says, you are guilty. You are what? Not guilty. Which means you are free to go. You are free to go and continue your life. You are free to go and do whatever you wanted to do. As soon as I can say, David, a small king, as you say, will be a why your body be now actually only a do a quick in a court. Now you do what's them. A brother, you do what's them. No, if you are betting me, I'm a bill. Then I bet now, but you cry. And now, if you also are now, who will remind? Now, in any of these two, no, who you have to that. I just say, dear family, no one from baby, I would not see a river tomb, and not see a fountain tomb. In between that time, no, the beer will be an engine complete. And that is the state of man. Very, very sad. We come into this world with this heavy burden upon us. Not until you are, that burden is taken away from you, your life is a very miserable life. Now, the judge declares you not guilty, and then therefore you are free. You have freedom from condemnation. Then, Life takes another turn again. Now you can decide what to do. You are free from that confinement, whether in the remand or bail, free from the pressure of the charges against you. Now you are free to go. You are free to begin a new life because you have been released from those charges. All the charges that were laid against you have been released. Can you imagine how happy you will be? And that's the state that we come. When we also come and confess our sins, because Christ has paid for our sins already. He has paid for it. All you need to do is to confess to him, and then your sins will be taken away. So it will be the same like you being in the court, expecting to go to jail, and then the judge says, even though you are guilty, you are supposed to be hanged, but somebody has paid for that penalty. Somebody has been hanged on your behalf. So your sins have been forgiven you. That is the state that you are when your sins are forgiven you. And I'm sure everybody who will go into this state will be very, very happy. So David knew how it felt for his sins to be forgiven him, whether from the one with the Bathsheba or from whatever sin that he committed. He experienced a greater joy when the sins were forgiven him. So, friends, this blessing should compel everyone to seek for forgiveness of sins. If you think of the blessings of forgiveness, it must compel you to seek for it, because it is the only way to be blessed in this world. So now, according to the psalmist, he was in agony in heart, and he was groaning all the time because of the guilt, the heavy load. So what does he teach us? All of us, this lesson that is in the Bible for us, what does he teach us? First, To know the blessing of God's forgiveness, we need to feel the burden of guilt. As someone here can know David as a media chair, he said, Bakude, Edikan, he said, and Sana Yebehunu, Isha, a war, Bonifatimunu. I just said, Yebuani no, Emu, and Susan, so yes, no, a buoy of four, we feel the guilt in us. If you don't feel the guilt, your confession, your repentance will be fake. You must feel the guilt. You must know that what you have done, this is what you have done. This is what has caused our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross of Calvary. God himself has to come for this thing to be dealt with. It tells you how serious, and that guilt must be in you before you come to the Lord. Now, you see, we are in a world that this guilt is no more there. People don't feel the guilt of their sin. Even when they sin, they try to explain. Pastors even are doing that. When they are sin, instead of confessing their sins, they try to explain why they sin. If you try to explain your sin, your confession will never be true. The American is there. A real sinner is here. You know, sir, a fobua, a one nipper team, say, be a bonny, a my, you know, a boomy fob team, a dihobby, a dipire bonny. Now, oh, come on, some cry. Now, or church, you didn't hear a man here, bonny. Mekai Adibi from Pastor B. Oh, Pastor B. I have bonny or not, sorry. I am Tiama, I say, oh, free. I'm sorry. Now, so people know of a jatum, we say, why are born and we're free as a woman. Listen to what the pastor said. The pastor who had been sinning, doing some grievous things in church, and he was sacked from the church, whilst he was going, look at what he said. He said, along the way, I have stepped over the line of acceptable behavior. Look at the kind of words he's using. I have stepped over the line of acceptable behavior with some members of the congregation. He added that he tried on his own to face unspecified childhood issues. Now he's blaming issues that he had when he was a child and had been involved in years of denial and faulty coping techniques. Look at the kind of words he's using. He's trying to explain everything, that even though his sin is not his fault. This kind of confession would never be accepted by God. He says, so you know that David never said this. He didn't say, because of this, because of my background, that is why I sin. He said, how blessed is he whose unspecified, sorry, he didn't say the one whose unspecified sins issues are forgiven, and those who deny and falsely coping techniques are covered. He says, how blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputed not iniquity. David Anka said, in Shrenka Obia, why a bonny, Nels, offer Pabiso, as a chain, a bonny or ye. Say, I said, if you are my mammy, anyhow, but you'll be a man to Timmy, if you are my yes, our bonny, one canister, only or can say, my bonny, Timmy Bonny, and I may come once everybody for everybody from the bonny. And that is how we come to God with repentance. David knew that he had sinned, and he felt deeply the guilt of his sins. And the guilt was making him physically weak, as he said in verses 3 and 4. And then in Psalm 38, verse 2 to 8, he said a similar thing there. Let me read it to you. Psalm 38 from verses 2 to 8. He said, for thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me so. There's no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities are gone over my head as an heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds shrink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. I have rolled by reason of the disquietness of my heart. See David saying the same thing here. I said, my David, the kind of ahano. The all kind of Psalm 32 and what's actually kind of Psalm 38. Now the all kind of says, Oyankupon, the castle Oyankupon arrows, so arrows here, Pia, not a giant, ah, Nipper be a two. It's a chest in Yankupon air to a giant, Eddie Tia or no David, you know. Sana o Hunuhu, it's on your Bonia, why ain't he? Boninuhu, a football, a wooden team. It is those who appreciate the gifts of God for forgiveness. They are those who felt deeply of the guilt of their sins. Omo a ombenya sa enhwe ne omo a ombedwene omboni ho se boni no ye boni a ehaw mo ewo omo adwene. Na our old Charles Spurgeon said something about this in his book. He had a book, his autobiography. We have some in our bookshop. He said he went through 5 years as a child feeling intense guilt before he was saved. Let me just read a quote from the book for you. He said, "When but young in years, I felt with much sorrow the evil of my sin. My bones waxed old with my rolling all the day long. Day and night, God's hand was heavy upon me. I hungered for deliverance, for my soul fainted within me. I feared lest the very sky should fall upon me and crush my guilty soul. God's law had laid hold upon me and was showing me my sins. If I slept at night, I dreamed of the bottomless pit. And when I awoke, I seemed to feel the misery I had dreamed." Then he goes on. "Up to God's house I went. My song was but a sigh. To my chamber I retired, and there with fears and groans, I offered up my prayer. Without a hope and without a refuge, for God's love was flogging me with his 10 strong whips, and then rubbing me with brine afterwards, so that I did shake and quiver with pain and anguish, and my soul chose strangling rather than life, for I was exceeding sorrowful." Spurgeon said this. All what he's saying, as a young boy, he felt his sin was heavy upon him. Spurgeon, it will be a reaction. Ye can nipa omo abeka nyankopon asem a odimu akotene pa na ono asem a woka no no se oya koda no na ne boni a waye na aye adesoa ane eso no ama ewiase e wonam nya no odisi nyankopon abubuhye wo e woni so na e woni so e kozi se afi de ono akasa e ko wura dem e ko bonkotoje e bon pa ye se ewade mfa ne boni enche minu sa e nne na ko bi kapa asem a akora ada age na ye bekati de ye fani ko sakia fi wasolo bra. People would think that he's mad. If it was in these days that a young boy of that age was saying that, this society would say that the person is mad and they should go and study him. Meanwhile, God was preparing a very powerful preacher in this man. Like I said, he became one of the finest preachers the world has ever produced. And that's how it began. He felt the guilt of his sin in him and he went to God for God to forgive him. So David said, "How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." So the burden of our guilt should drive us to seek the blessing. Ye boni no emu dro na ye ye feel say worse. In my brain you say omo ya de boni fool. Very very sad. Many people don't believe that they are sinners because maybe they are not being seen to be committing some of the well known sins. So, but mind you, you were born in sin. Right from birth, I told you that in the morning, that right from your birth, there's a load of sin hanging around your neck. And then you will sin more and make it more heavier. Nobody in this room can tell me that he has never sinned. Sins of the mind, sins of commission, sins of omission, we all do it. So they must weigh heavy on you for God to forgive you. That sin must weigh, your guilt must weigh on you for your sins to be forgiven you. So the burden of our guilt should drive us to see the blessing of forgiveness. Now, another blessing, the blessing of God's forgiveness, they are great. The blessing is a very great blessing. There are so many blessings or happiness for the person who experienced God's forgiveness. And I'm just going to give you just about four of them according to David. First, we have the blessing of a clean conscience. That is from verses 1 and 2. The blessing of a clean conscience. Meka inshra ɛwɔ saa bɔde fakyɛfakyɛ yi mu mɛdi kan aka deɛ di kan deɛ ɛtɔ so mmienu sɛ ɛyɛ adeɛ a ɛmu odu yie na wadwene otiboa nipa yɛka sɛ yɛtiboa conscience obi a ɔbɛka sɛ ɔnyɛ bɔne da no ɔboa because your conscience tells you wokɔ akɔyɛ biribi a your conscience tells you whether what you are going to do is good or bad whether you are converted or not your conscience is like the policeman in your system that tells you what you are going to do you can't say when you are going to steal you don't know that stealing is bad your conscience tells you what you are going to do is bad but when your sins are forgiven you your conscience now becomes clean not until then your conscience is corrupt it's corrupted so that's why people sin and they try to cover it Now, David, because of how he knows the weight of these things, he used some four different words to describe sin. From verses 3 and 5. First, he says transgression. He used the word transgression, which means a rebellion or refusing to submit to rightful authority. God has ordained certain limits for human behavior. So if you sidestep all those things, it is a transgression. You are rebelling against God. Onyankopon ahyehyɛ mmara ama yɛn a yɛfa so tena ewiase mu. Sɛ woanni saa mmara no so a, na yɛka sɛ obi rebel against what yɛ atua wɔ Onyankopon anim. Woafa Onyankopon asɛm anyɛ hwee. Wa rebel against God. Then he used the word sin. The word sin means to miss the mark. That is why I said you are born into this world with the sin hanging at your neck. So right from birth, you have missed the mark of God. So whilst transgression is talking about the violation of the known law, the other one, sin, looks as coming short of this aim which God intended. You fall short of God's aim for human beings. I've said this so many times here that God created us to glorify Him. If you can't glorify God, your life has been a disaster. Because you can't glorify God in sin. So if your sins have not been forgiven you, for you to have a new life where you can glorify God, your life has become a disaster and a waste. So sin is missing the mark. We miss the mark right from birth. Then you use the word iniquity, which is also like bent. Or twisted. Say, Onyankopon asem na wo tia no. Ene nipa bebre yesa. Nipa bebre de Bible asem ya no. The Bible ekye no obekya se in a way that will give a different meaning. Many people are doing that. They are twisting the word of God to suit what they want to tell people. It's happening even pastors, so-called pastors are doing that. And we also do it. Sometimes you read something in the Bible that is speaking directly to you and yet you twist it. Just because you want to get away with. And then he used the word deceit, the deceit in 2b, the guy where there is a deceit, and Ada, the deliberate cover up, trying to cover up, and also falsehood or hypocrisy. When Nano, it stands for deceit. And David said he didn't like all those deceits. He went straight to God for God to forgive him and cleanse him from all these things. Now, let's see the word that he also used for forgiveness. First, he said forgiving. Forgiving. And forgiving means to bear or to carry off or to take away a burden. Remember last 2 weeks ago, a woman pastor was here for our Sunday school, our Bible studies, and he was talking about Isaiah. Before he went out to preach, God took away his sin before he went to preach. So this forgiving here is somebody taking away your sin. In the olden days, for sins to be forgiven, when they lay your sin upon a goat, and then they take the goat to some wilderness and leave the goat there. So the goat has in a way taken your sins away. Titititimremono, son of Jesus Bebano, say, obeya bonia, ye di aponchi, ne di edipakono, the body you know every appointment so near the function I could remember be far away I will be able to do I just said the body in the court that's the picture of what Christ does for us when he said your sins are forgiven you your sins are taken away that is what they used to call scapegoat even we use it in our days, scapegoat. Somebody may be punished for something which other people have done, but he is the one that was caught. So he took the punishment for all the other people. Christ died for us. Even though he never sinned, he became our scapegoat to take our sins away. He bore our sins away that we can be free to now come to God. So it is, in the Hebrew word, it's like a sacrificial system. You are sacrificed for something. Christ was sacrificed on the cross of Calvary that our sins would be forgiven us. He also used the term covered, verse 1b, covered, which means out of sight. God said he will blot your sins away. When he said he will blot it away, it means he will never see it again. He will blot it away, he will cover it. So it will be out of sight. So God put our sins out of sight, which means he will never bring it up again. Because if God should punish Christ for us, and then he punishes us again, then what Christ has done will become useless. So when you confess your sins is taken away. That is what Christ bore on the cross of Calvary. And then God will never think of it again. Now he also used the term not counted. Not counted. That means it is not charged to your account. The example I gave at the court, they read your charges to you, and then through your charges, you are judged. Whether you go to prison, or you are fined, or you have to go free. Here, what Christ has done, he has taken all our charges and bore it himself. So our charges are not into our account, but it is gone into Christ's account. This same term was used in Genesis 15, verse 6, when Abraham exercised faith. Then he said, then he believed in the Lord, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. When Abraham believed in God, when God asked him to go and sacrifice his son Isaac, and he went to do it, it shows his faith. And there are so many things that Abraham did that shows his faith in God. And those faith is what was rendered to him as righteousness. So in the same thing, if you also believe in Jesus Christ and you confess your sins to him, that confession, that belief you have, will be your righteousness. And in Romans chapter 4, verse 5 to 8, he says, this comes from faith alone, not from works. For works, by works, nobody will be saved. It's only by faith in Jesus Christ and what he has done, and believing that he has done it for you, and that takes all your sins away. Then your sins will not be counted again. And that is what Christ has done for us. We owe an unpayable debt. There's a debt that we can never pay. Like I said, you come with it from birth, and you add to it, you have about 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 of adding the guilt to you. You can never pay. So Christ has come to pay it for you. Let's see what Martin Luther said about this. He said, sin has but two places where it may be. Either it may be with you, so that it lies upon your neck, or upon Christ, the Lamb of God. If now it lies upon your neck, you are lost. If, however, it lies upon Christ, you are free and will be saved. You see what he's saying? Sin has only two places to be. It either remains in you or remains with Christ. When it remains in you, then you are lost. When it goes to Christ, then you are free and on your way to heaven. The Martin Luther, can he say, Boni Owe, and I say, Ewa Oso, and I say, Ebeko, yes, you are. Say, Wawosua, and I say, Eadia, Ewe, na Edubeko, or say you. Ewa, yes, you are. Now are you free? Then Edubeko, heaven. Now, another blessing, as we said in verse 6 to 7, is God, having God as our refuge. You see, the same person who has sinned against God, the same person who was meant for destruction, now he said, God is my refuge. Now he can hide under the guy, the protection of God. We all know about the cities of refuge in those days. Those of you who don't know, there were some cities that were selected that had some refuge camps. If you commit a sin somewhere and they are chasing you, once you run and enter that city, they can't touch you. They have to hold you until later on they go into your case. And that's what Christ has become for us. When we run to him, our sins are forgiven us. So he becomes our refuge. Now, he feared God first as a judge. Now the same God has become his protector, who surrounds him with deliverance. In verse 6, he said the flood of great waters, and that refers to the judgment of God. So the man who has experienced God's forgiveness need not fear the flood of God's judgment. The judgment will come. But if your sins have been forgiven you, you don't fear that judgment. God now can turn to you, and now you become safe. He becomes your refuge. He also talked about another blessing in verses 8 to 9. The blessing of God's instruction. The blessing. Let's read there as we are nearing to the end. Psalm 32. From verse 8. It says, I will instruct thee and teach thee the way thou should go. I will guide thee with my eye. You see what he's saying? Now the same God who was to come a terror for you, now say he will instruct you, he will guide you, he will protect you. So now, what kind of blessing is more than when God himself, the creator, the omniscient, the omnipotent God, is the one who is instructing you in life and guiding you and directing you? You can never go wrong. So we should know that God knows. That is why when he says, when you confess your sins and you are born again, he seals you with the Holy Spirit, because he doesn't pardon you to go your own way, but to go his way. So he forgives you and then instructs you and guides you so that you can go his way. Otherwise, the devil will take you back to your former days. So God says he will guide you, and he will also protect you. Now, David ends the psalm by contrasting the wicked, who have many sorrows, as compared to the righteous, who are surrounded by the Lord's love. He says, the blessings of God's joy, in verses 10 to 11 of Psalm 32. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusted in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. See, if your sins have not been forgiven you, so we will be a for one in Chewa. I will hold any or yaw, any amania, a dao sudebia. But the anybody a channel there, or any gym, ewo onyakupon. So you have God's joy when your sins have been forgiven you. And that is why David ends this time by contrasting the wicked and then. The wicked stand for those whose sins have not been forgiven him, and then the righteous stand for those, because we have become righteous because of Christ. So if you think of God's mercy to sinners who don't deserve it, that is why we call it grace. We don't deserve it. And David says he says it with joy, because he is somebody who should be punished, but God has now taken control and protecting him and then guarding him. I said earlier on that when you go to court and the judge announces you not guilty, see how happy you are. Now the judge of the universe, the true judge, is the one who is saying that you are not guilty. You are free from the weight of your sins. He has taken that sin, the heaviest load on you, away. And friends, it is a blessing, a greater blessing that everybody here must make sure that he experiences that blessing. And you can only experience it when you accept your sin and see the guilt of your sin and come to Christ for him to forgive you. Before I come to the end, I will just quote John Calvin in his commentary about this same Psalm of David. He said, David here teaches us that the happiness of men consists only in the forgiveness of sin. For nothing can be more terrible than to have God for our enemy, nor can he be gracious to us in any other way than pardoning our transgressions. You see, John Calvin, a small canon, or say, a small David, can you say, any year, any BBM, I just say, the bunny actual. You can have so many riches, you can have buildings and whatever, you can never be happy unless your sins are forgiven you. That is the only way that will give true happiness. Psalm 1 talks about true happiness. True happiness is when your sins are forgiven you, and now God has become your creator, he has become your refuge, he has become your guidance and your protector, with the hope of sharing his glory with him. So we have come to closing, and before that, let me just summarize what I've said about God's experiencing God's forgiveness. See, we have a clear conscience before God. When you are forgiven, your conscience is not clear. You can come to God boldly with prayers because your conscience is clear. We have God as our refuge. Like I said, like running to the city of refuge for God to protect you. Don't forget, we live in a world of wickedness, a world full of evil. You need God alone to guide you. We have his instructions. Say, God said, I will instruct you, I will teach you, that you'll be able to live life that befits your calling. And because of all these things, we have a great joy in him. But how do we experience all these blessings of forgiveness? That is what we have said. The turning point for David was the verse 5, where David now came to God, confessed his sins, and God forgave him. And then all these blessings follow. Friends, have you ever come to Christ with this request? Have you ever felt the guilt of your sin and come to him to forgive you? Don't believe in what people are saying, that if you want to give your life to Christ, say this after me and all those things, and you think your sins are forgiven you. It is not true. Come to God, bow down on your knees and pray to him, pardon, for him to pardon you and forgive you of all your sins, and all these blessings will be yours. He will be with you in this world. He will lead you to where he is, life everlasting.